Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the De'Longhi third quarter 2019 consolidated results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group's 9 months and third quarter 2019 results conference call. With me, Mr. Marco Cenci, Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Mr. Stefano Biella, CFO, and Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, Director of M&A and Investor Relations, and Mr. Samuele Occhietto, Investor Relator. Before introducing the 9 months results, let me remind you that similarly to the first half, our consolidated reported accounts are incorporating the adoption of the new IFRS 16 accounting standard, which is affecting both income statement and balance sheet. However, in order to provide the group's figures on a like-for-like basis with the last year, we also present normalized values which exclude the effects of the IFRS 16. Now, let's take a closer look at the 9 months results before opening the floor to a Q&A session. This time, we're using the support of the presentation that has been issued together with the press release. I'll skip the first pages to jump right to slide six. In the first 9 months of 2019, the group showed revenues substantially in line with the previous year, despite the noticeable discontinuities occurred in the first quarter that have been limited the expansion of the first half year. After a tough start of the year, our business has turned back to growth consistently in both the second and third quarters. Looking ahead, at the last part of this 2019, we're entering the most important time for consumer goods, thanks to major events like the Black Friday and the Christmas season, that have been increasing the relevance in the sales cycle over the last couple of years. We're approaching this period with a range of new products and a stronger commitment in media and communication, so as to ensure our presence and success in both online and offline distribution platforms. Slide 7. From July to September, the revenues grew by 2.8%, supported especially by the coffee segment. In particular, the fully auto and manual coffee makers were growing double digits and accelerating versus the first half of the year, together with a positive performance of the Nespresso capsule systems, now growing after a few months of downturn. The trend in cooking and food preparation has remained sluggish, but with a less steady pace, in particular, thanks to the better performance, although still in negative territory, of the kitchen machines. Positive contribution came from ironing and floor care, while the comfort category was suffering from the late start of the winter season. Please turn to slide 11. The volatility of markets in the current year is reflected by the mixed picture that we get by looking at the revenue split by geographies. As for the third quarter, at an organic level, the Southwest Europe region increased even by mid-single digit, with a double-digit expansion in France, Switzerland, and the Iberian markets, mainly thanks to the outstanding performance of the coffee category. The growth of Northeast Europe continued at a mid to high single-digit rate, thanks to the double-digit growth in Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, and Poland, sustained by the full auto market and the recovery of the UK market, which grew by about 7% organic in Q3. As to the APA region, Asia-Pacific Americas, United States, Canada, and Japan were the top performers, but not enough to compensate for a sluggish Greater China, still suffering from the difficult trend in capsule systems. Finally, the MEA region, Middle East, India, and Africa, was still in negative territory due to the persistent weakness of the main economies like Saudi Arabia and UAE. Slide 12. Therefore, looking at the third quarter on a normalized basis, the group delivered satisfactory results. A net industrial margin stable at 47.2%, and adjusted EBITDA slightly up from 11.9% to 12% of revenues, and EBIT improving from 7.9% to 8.3% of revenues. Finally, a net income up by circa 11.9% to 29.1 million euros. As regards to the margin, the 9-month result delivered a consistent trend in the second and third quarters, broadly in line with last year. At adjusted EBITDA level, after the sharp decline in the first quarter due to several discontinuities occurring all at the same time. Slide 13. In particular, looking at the third quarter, we experienced a positive volume effect, a slightly improvement in prices, euro 1.6 million, and in mix, approximately 4 million euros, altogether contrasting the increase in costs. Having a closer look at the costs, over the last 9 months, the group has been impacted by the tariff increases which caused the rise of costs of importing products from China to the US market, amounting to about 8.5 million euros. Moreover, in the same period, we've been strengthening our internal organization so as to deal with the challenges and opportunities of the current changing trade environment. Slide 15, moving to the balance sheet, the normalized net financial position as at September 30 reached 177.5 million euros, thanks to a strong cash generation provided by the operating activities, amounting to 173.3 million euros normalized in the last rolling 12 months. More importantly, the normalized free cash flow before CapEx of 64.5 million and dividends of 55.3 million stood at 242.8 million in the last 12 months. The net working capital, in normalized terms, stood at 387.6 million, slightly improving as a percentage of revenues from 19% as at September 18 to 18.6%, thanks to the stabilization of the inventory level as planned. To draw a conclusion, we are satisfied with the third quarter results, which are in line with our expectations and the current guidance. Although the competitive and economic scenario is still looking very volatile and complex, from a strategic point of view, we are investing to provide all the resources needed to successfully overcome this transition period and to consolidate the group's leadership in the key markets and segments. Therefore, we're considering for the current fourth quarter incremental investments in media and communication in amount of about 1% of annual revenues in order to strengthen our leadership for the future, although with possible margin dilution in the shorter term. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question and good afternoon to everybody. Three, if I may. The first one related to your guidance. You said you confirm revenues guidance, which at the low bound of the range calls for sizable acceleration in the fourth quarter. So I was asking what makes you confident in achieving such acceleration in the last part of the year. And related to the guidance again, if we should expect this incremental investments in marketing and communication to continue also into 2020. Second question on food preparation, if you can tell us which was the trend in the third quarter. I read from the press release that improving versus the first half of the year. Could you quantify this improvement? And very last, on the new financing for 200 million written in the press release, if you can elaborate on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So indeed, we need to hit the low level of our guidance for the full year, which is between 2% and 4%. We need to deliver a stronger fourth quarter, which should be at 7% to meet the low part of the guidance, which is indeed a high growth rate. It is an acceleration versus what we are now experiencing as a growth rate. What we're seeing is now that the Nespresso and capsule coffee maker growth is back to normal. We are now experiencing in quarter three a double-digit espresso growth in coffee. And as coffee represents probably 50% of the group sales, should potentially translate into a 7% growth in quarter four. Of course, we take in account possible slowdowns in certain geographies, which it might happen. We, you know, we're competing now in a very fragile market, very volatile, with some uncertainties there. In fact, we are now we think that to be able to meet the 7% minimum growth, we need to post also positive growth in comfort. And we're also accounting for now definitely a stabilization of food preparation. So I think that, of course, there are some issues and some potential downturns, but we feel strong about coffee, and we feel more positive about the stabilization of food preparation. I would like to also say that food preparation, though still negative in quarter three, we have now Europe, like the greater Europe, Eastern Europe and Western Europe now stable or virtually stable, while we're suffering still in other geographies, which we expect now to become easier comps. So therefore, this is basically our reasoning behind the potential growth for quarter four. I have to say that we have also increased our advertising spend to increase the possibility to meet our targets. And we think that it might be eventually disappointed because it might affect in the short term our profitability. But we think that it's a very important year. It's a cornerstone for the group, and we want now to have this increased advertising spend. Because with the new change in the distribution channels, with the growing importance of the web, both in from a sales standpoint, but also from a communication standpoint, with social media and the new channel of communication, it's important for the group to realign with the new status quo. This and then I go back maybe to your question about 2020. We think that this is definitely the cornerstone year. And then for the future, we expect to have a more let's say, a growth in investments in advertising, but more proportional to the growth targets and the growth of the group. Therefore, this is a year of discontinuity. In the future, we will probably realign to a more linear increase in advertising spend in line with the growth trajectory of the group.
So we will have a step up which will continue. We start from a higher level next year, basically.
Yes, we start from a higher level, but let's say if we continue to grow between 5 and 10%, we should have a growth in advertising between 5 and 10%. And therefore, let's say the operational leverage from the group will continue to operate as in the previous year, no, in the past.
Okay.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Sorry. There was another question which I didn't answer, and was about the incremental financing. We have a very favorable moment opportunity now in getting financial means and funds at a very low cost, and we have taken this opportunity, but I don't mean that this is a signal for any activity in the moment.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about E&P investments. Basically, reading your guidance indication, you stated about, roughly speaking, plus 20 million year-on-year for this year of additional E&P investments. In your previous guidance that you mentioned about a slightly negative adjusted EBITDA excluding IFRS 16, what kind of delta investments, additional investment in E&P you considered for this year? My second question is back to the previous point about organic top line that you needed to deliver in the fourth quarter. So basically, if you confirm on the low end of the guidance, basically you are seeing October, November with this trend of plus 17. So you are still observing some acceleration versus the third quarter. And finally, time is running out. Probably also this year you are not going to execute some M&A. I don't know, but it means that it's more and more likely that the payment of something more in terms of dividends. Thank you.
Okay, yes. So versus the previous indication about advertising spend, you should take into account an incremental spend of about 10 million euros. Yeah, 10 million euros. So now the increase is approximately versus 1 year ago, about 20 million euros. And the spend would be the intention is to spend all this money in quarter four, which is the quarter we are witnessing now. Let's say the ability to compensate the investment, which was before approximately 10 million euros, now is closer to 20. Our ability to compensate now is a bit less certain due to the current market dynamics beyond our control. The difficulty that we are seeing, Germany has been slowing down, and U.K. with Brexit or Italy, some uncertainties. We will compensate only partially the incremental investment. We have some, of course, important board discussions about this and management discussion about this, but we feel that our growth perspective in coffee particularly are more than intact. Actually, I see still an enormous opportunity for the group. Considering that these market conditions are negative market condition in certain geographies, we not, let's say, reduce our ability to grow in the long term. It makes sense to accelerate further in our investment plan to set a stronger base for the group to continue exploiting this potential in the next years. Although we're going to have a dilution potentially in the margin for this reason, increased advertising spend, a lower probably growth rate, we still believe that this is the right decision for the group, and therefore we are accelerating our investment plan rather than reducing it. The current trend, October has been a positive month, so probably in line, even better than the target of 7%, but of course it's only 1 month, and we still have November, which is usually the most important month for the group, and December, which is always a very unpredictable month for a number of reasons. With regard to M&A and dividend, we don't comment on M&A. Of course, now we have only 2 months to go. For the moment, we have nothing to say or to announce with regard to that. And we don't have we have not discussed yet what can be a dividend for next year. We expect to definitely have a strong cash generation for quarter four, so we expect to have a very strong financial position by year-end if we don't have any M&A. For the moment, it's too early to propose a change in the dividend policy for next year.
Okay, thank you. Last point, putting all the elements together. It's challenging your target to achieve at least a flattish trend in EBITDA in the fourth quarter. Is that something irrational considering your current pickup in investments, or could be your target to maintain the last year EBITDA excluding IFRS 16 for the fourth quarter?
No, I think that considering that we are actually increasing the investment and we see probably a tougher environment, so maybe we should cut our expectations slightly versus probably will not be in the high part of the range, but close to the low part of the range. We think that it would be unlikely that we will have an EBITDA in line with last year in quarter four.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Could you provide a bit more details on these investments? In which brands do you want to invest? In which regions? You said that you want to invest mostly in Q4. What about the next year? Should we see another step up, and how big step up should be in the next year before the year after it will kind of grow in line with sales? And the second question on the Greater China, if you could also provide a bit more details. You're saying that, the decline is mostly due to the coffee segment here, but if you can provide what other product categories you have, how important they are, and you were also expanding Braun brand there. So how is Braun brand doing? Thank you.
So 80% of the advertising investment would be behind the De'Longhi brand and 20% behind the other brands. And in terms of geography, most of the investment will be in Western Europe and Eastern Europe. Greater China is weak for a couple of reasons. The main one, we have discontinued the Dolce Gusto range, as we had already announced some months ago, and which were also the number were already disclosed in quarter one and quarter two. And then also we had a change in the route to market, which is impacting in the short term, because we bought back inventories from a wholesaler, and now we are managing the e-players, namely Alibaba and Tmall, directly to have more control of pricing and more control of end users. So these two are the main reasons why we feel that although we are not super happy about the performance in China, because excluding this effect, probably we are flattish. We are not happy about the performance in China. Therefore, we are now also working on strengthening our organization locally. We still appreciate a positive trend in the sales of our coffee makers, and the Braun brand is performing quite well in the food preparation segment.
Understood. Can you explain a bit more why do you want to put so much advertising behind the De'Longhi brand? Because my understanding is that the coffee segment is doing very well, that you are gaining market share, and it's more the food preparation segment that is suffering. So why such a strong focus on the De'Longhi? And second question, why such a strong focus on Western Europe and Eastern Europe if the focus initially was also to develop more in America and in China?
The first question about we think that today the De'Longhi wants to establish itself as the authority in coffee, and although we have still a strong performance and a stronger growth rate, we think that to establish the authority is not just a matter of volumes and market share, also is a matter of how we communicate, how we in all the touch point with the consumers. I think that in this perspective probably we were under investing in the past. I think that the potential in coffee is phenomenal, and we think it would be a mistake if we don't increase the advertising spend now. We want to be the authority, and we want to also strengthen our position vis-a-vis our competitors in any aspect of the competition. Better products, more product lines, higher shares, more better in-store execution and presence, but also more advertising behind our brand.
Okay, understood. And regarding the timing, what kind of investments do you want to continue next year? Because you said that next year we should also expect some step up, so probably also will be some headwinds to the margins, no?
Well, the investment would be more, as I said, this year is like a step up in our percentage of investment on sales behind the brands. Next year, the increase will be proportional with the growth targets for the company. US. In the U.S., of course, the U.S. is a key market for us, and the investment will start next year. As for this year, we have let's say focused more in Europe and Western Europe, and now we are working on a new also communication strategy, which will be finalized in the next couple of months. Will start in 2020.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is on the food preparation. Once again, if you can quantify the like-for-like in the third quarter of this year, just to better understand the closing gap. And the second one is more general on 2020. If you can help us to, let's say, understand how next year could look like, both in terms of top-line growth, of course, on an organic base, and also in terms of margin evolution, because you were mentioning very volatile and fragile markets. We need to step up the advertising and promotion, and at the same time, it seems that the coffee business is gaining traction. So should we expect like-for-like next year to improve versus the expected low single-digit growth this year? And for the EBITDA margin, is reasonable to assume a stable EBITDA margin, or should we assume a further decrease on profitability? Thank you.
Okay, the first question was about the food preparation, and quarter three, we had a negative growth for approximately organic, about 5.7% negative, and reported at 4%. But Western Europe was flattish, while we're still suffering in Middle East, in Asia Pacific, and also Oceania. So I have to say that compared to the past, at least we see now a stabilization in our Europe, Eastern and Western and Eastern Europe, which I think is a good sign now, while still suffering in the rest of the world. With regard to next year, I think you know how important is quarter four. I think that probably is a bit too early to disclose what are targets for next year. What I think is that for the moment, we think that our growth perspective for the group are remain intact. So we always said that our long-term guidance is a growth of between 5 and 10%. So I think this is definitely the group ambition. But we will provide you with a guidance for 2020 later on, probably early 2020.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Regarding the profitability, can you just give a qualitative indication?
For next year or for 2020?
Sorry, for next year, please.
No, I mean, I said, we know, we think that it doesn't make sense for the moment to give guidance, or rather wait let's say the performance of the group in quarter four, and then we will provide you with indication as soon as possible. What we think is that we believe the group potential is intact of a growth between 5 and 10%. We see a strong growth potential in coffee. We're growing again double digit. We are reinforcing our investment in communication, and we think that this will help the group to continue in this expansion path that we have experienced over the past 10 years.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Isacco Brambillo with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Thank you for taking the question. I have two. The first one is on AMP, maybe looking at next year. We used to see AMP between 10-11% of sales. Now with this step up, I'm more seeing something like 12% or even something much. Should we assume this as a new normal given the tougher trading environment in the industry, so for example for 2020, 2021 and going forward? And second question is on some of your geographies, Middle East and Asia Pacific especially were quite weak in the quarter. So as concerns the Middle East, I acknowledge this is a very volatile market.
We can barely hear you, sorry.
Okay. As concerns on a geographic basis, Middle East was quite weak in the quarter. This is a very volatile market, but I would understand from you if should we expect some stabilization looking at 2020. And the same question applies for Asia Pacific, looking in particular at 2020. Thank you.
Well, I think that probably 12% of advertising spent on sales can be a good indication for the next few years. Yes. With regards to the Middle East, yes, we think we'll stabilize. We had a very difficult market environment. What we're seeing is that we had a strong sales decline in Saudi and EU. However, our market shares are pretty in line, so we are suffering as the market is suffering, no more than that. And we expect the market to probably stabilize. It's really very weak now, so we expect to probably stabilize in the next year.
Okay, thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is about Forex raw material. Your competitor Seb stated about an improvement of the scenario in terms of both Forex and raw material for the full year. I would like to better understand your view about these two elements. And finally, we saw a very important decrease in all the elements between EBIT and pre-tax in terms of financial expenses, cash discounts and so on. Do you expect still for the year a strong decrease versus last year, just to better analyze the trends or what's it happening? Thank you.
Sorry, the last question was about the financial charges.
Yes, exactly. So all the elements, of course, in this line, you have as well cash discounts plus financial charges. So to better understand for the full year. Thank you.
Well, with regard to the raw materials, we think we are budgeting for stable raw materials for next year, and we have some inflation in labor costs that we will try to compensate with efficiencies. However, we have inflation in labor in Romania and in China, and as well in Italy. So in the plants we have, but we will try to compensate this with actions and more efficiencies. With regard to the financial charges, we had an improvement, and we expect that for this year we should have a similar trend also in quarter four. It's thanks to how we manage liquidity and our hedging policies, and which has provided a good result for the group.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Niccolò Storer with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Mr. Storer, line is open.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, thank you. Again on AMP, if you say that 12% could be, let's say, the new normal starting from this year, if I put 12% on expected revenues for this year, I reach a year-on-year increase in advertising and promotion costs more in the 30 million region than in the 20 million region that you were mentioning before. So how should I make the calculation right?
When we speak about 20 million of incremental investment, we're speaking about media, only on media, and about the line investments. 12% takes account of the media plus all the promotional and in-store activities below the line. We think that the increase has also been concentrated, will be concentrated in the second half of the year. So I think that you will see now these 12% impacting more in quarter four. And we think that for the next couple of years, you should take into account for 12% total investment and a growth rate which will be more in line with the growth rate of the group.
Thank you.
Mr. De Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time. Mr. De Longhi, would you like to add any final comments to conclude the conference?
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.